From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has recently begun a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection from the dead. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Need to Stint. The text is found in Proverbs 28 and verse 10. The upright shall have good things in possession. The book of Proverbs is also a book of promises. Promises ought to be proverbs among the people of God. This is a very remarkable one. We are accustomed to think of our good things as in reversion, but here we are told that we shall have them in possession. Not all the malice and cunning of our enemies can work our destruction. They shall fall into the pit which they have digged. Our inheritance is so entailed upon us that we shall not be kept out of it, nor so turned out of the way as to miss it. But what have we now? We have a quiet conscience through the precious blood of Jesus. We have the love of God set upon us beyond all change. We have power with God in prayer in all time of need. We have the providence of God to watch over us, the angels of God to minister to us, and above all, the Spirit of God to dwell in us. In fact, all things are ours, whether things present or things to come, all are yours. Jesus is ours. Yea, the divine Trinity in unity is ours. Hallelujah! Let us not pine and whine and stint and slave, since we have good things in possession. Let us live on our God and rejoice in Him all the day. Help us, O Holy Ghost.
Save His lullaby, a song of peace. is my song of praise.
From the golden streets of heaven to the shores of Galilee came a love song for all people, the music of eternity.
And from a wooden cross, God sang his song of grace and filled the world with the sound of hope and everlasting praise. This shall be my
Your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version. You have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In considering the necessity of Christ's baptism at the outset of his earthly ministry, Dr. Cairns has shown that this was part of the Savior's obedience to the law of God. In his sinless life and atoning death, the Lord Jesus rendered perfect obedience and earned for his people a perfect righteousness. That baptism in the Jordan River looked forward to the time when Christ would be baptized in his own blood on the cross. In his baptism, Christ set an example for his people by showing the importance of obeying the law of God, not for salvation, but to show the reality of salvation in the individual Christian. In other words, Christians cannot simply disregard God's law because they are under grace. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Christ's baptism unto repentance.
Christ fulfilled all righteousness. And he did it for us. He obligated himself to take every precept of the law of God and do what Adam couldn't do, fulfill it to absolute perfection. That's what Christ's obedience is all about. And by the way, that is one simple but sufficient reason why God didn't send his son into the world as a grown man. It's why he didn't send him into the world the day he died. It's why he didn't send him directly to the altar. He sent him first as a babe and for 33 years to live out a perfect righteousness. The significance of that is seen in Romans 5 when we are told it is by the obedience of Christ that the many are constituted righteous before God. So he pledged himself to satisfy the precept of the law. He pledged himself, of course, to satisfy its penalty. The law said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death is always the penalty for sin. The Church of Rome talks about venial sins and mortal sins. Now, the Bible recognizes that some things are more wicked than others, but the least wickedness is mortal. The least wickedness demands death. The Lord Jesus Christ took all our sins. What did your sin demand? What did your sin deserve? Hell. Hell is not the invention of medieval papist priests. Hell is not the production of Dante or any other poetic mind. Hell is the revealed perdition of sinners. That's what our sin deserved. That's what Christ bore. When he stood before God as the substitute, he bared his breast to the sword of the judgment and the justice of God. And there he took all the wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid. He took it all. He paid the penalty. Having kept the precept, he paid the penalty. And that's what he pledged to do the day he went into the waters of baptism. I think that day, something John maybe didn't fully understand, although he grasped some of it when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." When Jesus stood in the waters of baptism, he was looking forward to that day when he would be baptized in his own blood. You remember he said to the disciples, "Can you drink the cup that I drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And he was speaking of the baptism of blood. He was speaking of the baptism of the cross, a baptism of suffering, a baptism where he would be under the wrath of a sin-hating God. That was all 3.5 years in the future as he stood in the waters of Jordan. But as he stood there with the waters of the baptism of repentance still upon him, he was looking forward to the day when he would go to the cross. And standing in the Jordan, he was saying to God the Father, "I will fulfill the obligations of the covenant of redemption. I will make my soul an offering for sin. I will pay the full satisfaction to the law in its precept and in its penalty. And I will thereby procure and provide a perfect righteousness with which to clothe my people and bring them to heaven. It's one final reason the Lord Jesus was baptized with the baptism of repentance, and I think it was quite simply this: to set an example for his own believing people. You see, this shows you Christ's attitude to sin. Even though it was not personally his own sin, yet he felt it, he sorrowed over it, he confessed it, and he was baptized with the baptism of repentance. So he's very clearly showing us what our attitude should be. He set out to fulfill all the righteousness of the law. And that shows us what our attitude should be to the law of God. Now, this includes baptism, but it goes way beyond it. Peter said that he gave us an example that we should follow his steps. And the baptism of Christ maps out for you and me our steps, what our attitude should be to the law of God and to the will of God. Let me put it to you this way. No Christian can understand the attitude of Christ expressed in his baptism and be an antinomian. God has not called you and me to be saved by grace in order that we may ignore the law of God. Now let's understand this. The law is not a covenant of life for us. We are not saved by what we do, we're saved by what Christ did. We're not saved by our fulfillment of the covenant of works, we're saved by Christ's fulfillment. And that for us is a covenant of grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We are not saved by the law, but we're saved by Christ's fulfillment and satisfaction of the law. So the law is not a covenant of life. But the law is an unchanging standard of behavior for the people of God. There's one man who's written a book called The Nine Commandments. You know, that could well sum up the attitude of most evangelical Christians in America today. For somehow or other, the fourth commandment got dropped by the way. And while many Christians would say, yes, you should not have idolatry, and you should not swear and take the Lord's name in vain, and you should not steal and kill and commit adultery and lie and all the rest of it, yet the Sabbath day somehow or other has dropped by the wayside. We're down to nine commandments. Let me tell you something. The people who drop the fourth will not be long before they drop the rest. And just look at the state of religion in America today. Look at the state of fundamentalism in America today. And try to tell me that the desecration of the Sabbath day has not had serious, far-reaching implications for the moral life of people who populate our churches across this state and this nation. And I realize churches are never going to be perfect. In many ways, they're like hospital wards, where the people who are still under treatment. And I realize that, but nonetheless, to an awful degree, you look around churches today, and they are populated by liars, by cheats, by immoral people. I'm not saying this is true of all God's people, it's not. But I'm saying that there are thousands who are passing themselves off as God's people. And their lives are scandalous. And the excuse is, we are not under law. Well, if they're not under law and the result of it is that they're living in sin, it's time they get back to obeying God's law. God has not called us to antinomianism. God has not called us to ignore the law. God has not called us to live in selfishness and sensualness. God has called us to live in holiness God thought so much of his law within the covenant of grace that he describes the act of the Holy Ghost in regenerating a person. He describes it in these terms, writing the law upon his heart. That's regeneration. What does it mean? It means that God gives you a heart to obey him, a heart to observe and obey his law and do his will. Now, what is the will of God? So many people get hung up on what is the will of God for my life. Should I be in this job or that job or the other job? But half the time they forget the things that the Bible declares to be the will of God for us all. Overarching everything, this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, even your sanctification. That's the will of God. Read it in context. It's moral purity. That's the will of God. It is not the will of God that you fill your mind with moral filth and impurity. That is not the will of God. Yet we have Christians, and they feed their minds a daily diet of all the filth that the sewer pipes of Hollywood can spew out. And then they wonder why they don't have power in prayer, and they wonder why they don't have power in witness, and they wonder why they don't have the joy of the Lord, and they wonder why their kids are growing up to be rebels. Let me tell you, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This baptism of the Lord Jesus sets before us an example of what our attitude should be to sin, what our attitude should be to holiness, and what our attitude should be to the service of God. We must put off the flesh. Paul said, put off the old man, put on the new. He said that to people who were already mature Christians. This is not something that's done in the past and you can forget about it. You've got to keep on putting off. Keep on reckoning dead. Keep on fighting the flesh. Keep on putting on the new man. That's what you're called to do. And give yourself without reservation to the will of God. And the Lord Jesus submitted himself to baptism. He was giving us an example. We're to hate sin. And we're to give ourselves wholeheartedly, unashamedly, to obey God, whatever the cost may be. These are some of the reasons, far from exhaustive, but suggestive reasons why our sinless Savior submitted himself to a baptism of repentance for sin. He bore our sin. He felt our sin. He dealt with our sin. And he has mapped out for us thereby a path of obedience to God. I trust today that the Lord will do two things as we have studied his word. Number one, well, three things really. Number one, show us the glory of Christ, sinless Son of God. Second, teach us the depths of the doctrine of saving grace, justifying power. And third, teach us what it is to be like Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for Christ and his baptism unto repentance. We realize that it was something that even John couldn't understand. And Lord, we realize that it is only the revelation of thy word that would show us how the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God would be baptized with a baptism that confesses sin. Lord, we thank thee it was our sin he bore. We praise thee it was our debt he paid. We thank thee it was our salvation he secured. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt lead souls to Christ today and lead thy people to a deeper than ever enjoyment of their Savior. We do ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt give us a Christ-like attitude toward sin and a Christ-like attitude toward the will of God. Save us, O Lord, from the antinomianism that is so prevalent today, where God's people glibly, shallowly deny the role of the law of God in their lives. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt make us fulfillers of thy law, of thy word, and of thy will. Grant that by thy grace, being saved by Christ's obedience, we may walk in his steps. Hear our prayer, and part us with thy blessing. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this Sabbath day and until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.